Six of Concentrated, the podcast about movies, comics, shows, and all the other cool stuff we want to talk about from the perspective of nerds of color. I am your host, Maria, and as always, I am here with my co-host, Eric.
Hello.
And Manira.
Hi.
So, as if there's anything else to talk about this week, today we are going to go ahead and do our Game of Thrones series finale recap. Yay! And also, we're going to give you some shows that you should watch now that it's done. Yeah. But before we jump into that, let's go ahead and do Eric Does the News.
All right, I got three stories. One sad, one enraging, one less sad.
Ooh.
sad news. Tartar Sauce, a.k.a. the Grumpy Cat, has died. She was 7 years old, and she died on May 14th of a complication for a urinary tract infection.
We always lose the good ones.
Yeah. We lose the good grumpy cats.
The good ones, yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that cat changed some people's lives, okay?
Not in here.
Grumpy cat changed my life.
I love some grumpy cat, but yes. You know, I wasn't entirely too beaten up about this. I was sad.
It's always sad when any pet
it
dies.
Is. No, yeah, well, no.
She's no Chewbacca, but, you know.
She's not, but, I mean, my Shih Tzu's going to be so upset because he's modeled his life. Chong, you know, shout out to Chong. He thinks he is grumpy dog. So he's going to be very sad when I share this news with him.
He's just old.
And grumpy. All right. Oh, sorry.
In other news, we are finally getting a new Mortal Kombat movie. You know, because that's what we needed.
Yeah.
Somewhere my brother is super excited.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, hold on. Okay, so I just want to wrap my mind around this. We are getting a new Mortal Kombat movie that, yep, I'm assuming is going to be live action.
Yes, live action movie produced by James Wan of Insidious and Saw and Aquaman fame. Produced, not directed. The director is Simon...
Simon, who cares? Because it's not
Simon
James Wan.
McQuode.
That's not nice.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, she's not wrong. I mean, his only credits are a bunch of music videos and commercials. So,
which music videos?
We're not going to get into that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but I'm kind of curious because now you brought it up. What music videos has he directed, Eric? Because I know you know.
I don't know. Yeah.
He don't want to find out.
Right.
I don't really care to find out because, again, stop giving big time, because this is going to be a big budget movie.
What is it even going to be based on?
Well, the games have been a pretty good success as far as story goes.
No. I apologize. I don't mean it as if there is not plenty of source material. I almost feel like there is too much source material, and it will be one of those instances where some jackhole that should never have been given this type of budget is just going to start fusing stories together because it's all Mortal Kombat, and we're going to be left with some shit.
You mean like Mortal Kombat Annihilation? Yeah, no, it was terrible.
Oh, gosh. All right, next story.
Your next one. This one's really going to piss you off. We have a new Batman for...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be excited because there's lots of really good actors out there that could be Batman.
Right now, it is 90% confirmed. Apparently, they're still in talks, but your front runner right now is...
Sparkly Man.
Yeah, James Pattinson. Or Robert Pattinson,
Robert.
I'm sorry. James Patterson.
His dad is, yes, James Patterson.
Okay. Acclaimed mystery novel writer, James Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is your front runner to be the Batman in Matt Reeves' Batman, which, according to what they're saying, it's not going to be a continuation of the Justice League Ben Affleck Batman. This one should be a standalone, kind of like how the Joker movie is a standalone film. Which doesn't make it any better.
No.
Especially since this movie has been in development for about 5 years in pre-production hell. Originally, it was always going to be Matt Reeves' Batman, but this was supposed to be Ben Affleck's Batman, and they even confirmed, and the villain was supposed to be Deathstroke, which, as a huge Deathstroke fan, that is the villain you go with. Batman has never faced Deathstroke. He is kind of a match for him on a physical level and a mental level. But now that Pattinson is nearly signed on, the villains will be Catwoman and Penguin again.
No.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, guys?
And I love Catwoman.
This is too, actually but... really exciting news.
Are you being facetious?
Me? Facetious? No, no, listen. This is really, really exciting because I'm sure that there is a segment of the population out there that said, oh my God, I just smoked this entire bowl of peyote and now I wonder what it would be like if you took a fucking sparkly ass vampire.
He's not sparkly and all
made
of his life.
Him Batman.
No, no. Here's the thing. I'm gonna defend him here because I've seen him in a number of other movies. He's actually a good actor.
No,
he's give it, like the wait, Twilight wait, wait, wait. Movies are
let's,
trash. 100%.
Let's be clear. Let's be clear, okay? Proud Hufflepuff all day. He did my boy Cedric Diggory right. So he is a great actor.
And it always comes back to Harry Potter.
It's always going to come back to Harry Potter. Y'all already know Hufflepuff. What's up? But he is
fucking
the exact...
Nerds.
Right. He is the exact opposite of what you want in a Batman. On top of the fact, too, that
though?
His ability to do an American accent is not good.
It's a little shaky at best.
He's done some good ones.
But he does that weird thing
do
with his
face.
Do
you stand for him, Eric? Because I feel like you do.
I don't, but I've seen him in good movies.
No, but the thing is he does that weird thing with his face when he's using an American accent. Tom Hardy does the same thing. Like, they do this weird thing with their mouths. Like
the strokey thing.
Yeah, and it's weird, and I'm not here for this garbage shit that they're doing, and I don't even know how you call yourself a real Batman fan being okay with this. I said
it's 100% stunt casting. Don't ever come for my Batman creds. I don't even like Batman like that, but I know more about Batman than most people. Again, it's stunt casting. I don't mind him. I do mind the film. I don't want Catwoman and Penguin. I wanted Deathstroke.
We don't need another film.
We don't need
film.
Another Batman.
We don't need another Batman.
Actually liked Affleck as Batman.
I did too.
Boo this man.
No, I did. I liked him.
Boo you too.
He was given a couple of really shitty movies to be in, but physically,
I liked him.
He looks like Batman.
Right. Right.
Not my Batman. Sorry.
Listen, I was okay with it. But you know what I'm not okay with? Fucking Catwoman and Penguin again.
Yeah.
Like, literally, if you were to do a top, like, 10 all-time superhero villains across every fucking comic book company, at least 3 to 4 of them are going to be Batman villains.
Yeah.
So there's no shortage of people that he could go up against. Ugh. All right, Eric, when are you going to give
like
us
said,
good news?
Like I said, Deathstroke was the perfect choice, but that's not happening. So, Pattinson or not, I think I'm out. If you want a quick bit of good news, John Wick 4 has been approved and will get a 2021 release date. So, spoilers if you haven't seen John Wick 3, guess what? There's going to be a John Wick 4.
We'll talk about John Wick 3, just not today, to give y'all some more time.
John Wick release date will be May 21st, 2021.
Please don't look at me. I told you I have tickets on Saturday.
No, listen, I am not judging you. I will probably go see it again twice this weekend because, fuck yeah. That's my whole reason. I don't need to give you no damn logic. All I need to say is if you haven't seen John Wick 3, get your fucking life together and go watch it multiple times. If you like violence, I gotta put the preface on that because I lost count on the bodies by like the 3 minute mark. I was like,
but you know that because
it's John easily
Wick,
100 people.
Yeah, and
easily.
Also
not
I'm
even
good
over-exaggerating.
At math, so you know,
once exciting.
He got once he got past 6, I was gonna have problems. Awesome. All right. So thank you for that good bit of news because the rest of your news today was some shit. Yeah. And, you know.
But that's his format, though. You've noticed. It's
I think he likes bringing us down.
And sadness.
I'm not here to, you know, I just slaughter the cow. I don't make the burgers.
All right. Well, listen, we've been putting this off for the last almost 24 hours. Not really. Whatever. But we've been putting it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is also posting a little bit later. Normally, we drop Monday morning. So this will be dropping Monday evening.
Yeah, but it had to wait.
Folks got jobs.
Well,
folks got to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Same. Yes.
And also, nothing about what we saw last night made me want to stay up late.
Nope.
But Along that line, Manera, we have, you and I have had some, I feel like, very heated, but, you know, love in a loving way conversations about how this season of Game of Thrones has gone. And, you know, we had kind of our thoughts going into this final episode. I think that we both kind of had a general feeling of how we were going to feel when it was done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we really didn't get too much into what we thought the actual outcomes would be. Or, like, legit what would happen. So now that we've seen it, I feel like this is a loaded question, but I'm just going to do it anyway. How do you feel?
Well, there was a beginning. There was a middle. And then there was an end. Yeah. And then there was an end. And then there was an end. And I'm not exaggerating, people. You know, you saw it.
Oh. And then Samwise was looked back at Mr. Frodo. And he's like, Mr. Frodo, don't go. Don't get on that boat, Mr. Frodo.
And then there was inspirational music.
Yeah. Okay. The music's always top notch. But that, oof, Lord. Mm. They picked Dany up and just flew away with her. Just flew right away with her.
Yep.
That was...
a
weird
choice.
Well, yeah, I remember watching that whole sequence and thinking, all right, well, he's going to do it. I feel some kind of way about this, but that's an aside. Mm-hmm. And then when the dragon doesn't kill his ass, because he shouldn't have, in fairness, you know, the whole Targaryen thing. I'm like, all right, cool.
Because apparently dragons now have emotions.
Right. They do. Yes, yes. Apparently this dragon was very, very emotional and nudged his poor mommy and yep. Mommy
but
wasn't
not
moving.
Enough to kill the man who you know killed her.
Nope. Well,
he couldn't.
You know, he's bloodbound. But regardless.
The dragon's got emotional depth and range and where, he's very empathetic to the problems
exactly
happening in Westeros.
Where exactly was he taking Dany? Like, I have so many questions.
He took her to Valyria. You know that. Well, I mean, you don't know that because they didn't
say.
We don't
know
shit. But...
I mean, we don't know what the hell's going on.
It's almost as if there was not good writing that happened.
Oh,
you mean
episode.
No,
Eric.
You mean almost as if they ran out of the source material and had to wing it the
years
rest
ago.
Of the way?
As I literally read an article this morning. It was a Hard Times article, and it was listed as... players complete dungeon after their dungeon master leaves 3 years ago. So they've basically just been making it up as they go along.
Yeah. The fact that we talked about this, they were given a full season and said, nah, dude, we can do it in 6.
What, 10 episodes? Nah, hold my beer.
Right.
Got this in 6.
Like, how dare you? The hubris. But, yeah. I mean, look at who wrote it.
Here's my thing. I will cut them a bit of slack.
Oof, you are generous as hell.
No, but here where I'm going with this. They had to have been exhausted putting on a show of that size, magnitude, and caliber for 7 years. Taping for like 9? Because like the first one took like a year or two or whatever. But they've been doing this. They've been at this for a long time. So I get it that you were tired. And I get that you just wanted it to be done. And if that's not how you felt, then fuck you, because that's clearly what you put out. You put out a product that in the end said, I'm tired and I'm done and I just need to wrap this up. And I feel like when you guys signed on with HBO, you fucking knew that there were still books that weren't done. So you signed up to be on this for the long haul and you just let everybody down because... you got tired, you took your ball, and you went home in the middle of the fucking game.
Can I also say that you were saying that you were giving them slack, but you ended up taking
that
the slack
didn't
back.
Seem like
oh,
right.
Sorry. I'm just saying that I understand that they were tired. You know, I get it.
Well, I mean, they also had no, like George R. R. Martin apparently years ago said, oh, well, in case I die, here's who wins. And that's about all the guidance he gave.
Yeah, which is... insane.
But you knew that you weren't ready to end it. Like, you hadn't built up so that it would be
right.
A consensus and we would be happy.
Well, I think that the bigger issue, and I think that this was ultimately George R.R. Martin's best troll yet, because he purposely let them do this series based on his books without there being a conclusion, never really giving them a full, you know, never giving them full insight into what the conclusion would be so that they could produce this shit. And then he's going to come back with the last two books and be like, look how great my books are. Ha ha. Written media is the best. And it's ridiculous. Like, he trolled the shit out of us.
Spoiler alert. We ain't never getting those books.
No.
Well, he, I mean, right. If we get the books.
I would say the over-under on him, I would say dead in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Unless the books are fucking written and he just hasn't published
They're
them.
Not written.
They're not written. I don't care who says what. He hasn't. Nope. He probably hasn't opened his goddamn laptop in at least 2 years.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah.
So, no. I mean, I think that the lesson here, HBO, and any other major network that wants to continue to pull from source material that is written, is how about you make sure the goddamn series is complete first so that your fans can actually get a beginning, middle, and end to the series as intended instead of this shit.
Can we not piss them off? Because I do want a adaptation of Robert's Rebellion. I do. I want to see all that gore on the tiny screen, but big screen. I want to see it. Listen, I love the story. I love all of the story. I love pieces of the story. I am in it to win it. Listen, I want to see all of it.
I think that with Game of Thrones, you guys wanted to do it on this grand scale. It was beautiful. And even this season where people had their issues, like people had issues with the Battle at Winterfell. I thought it was one of the best episodes of the season. I loved the way that it was shot. I thought it should have been dark, so I had no issue with the light.
Yeah, you're going to have issues if you're watching it on a fucking 7-inch iPhone.
Right, right. But if you're
Step
watching it...
Step your shit up. Watch it on a big screen.
Right.
At least watch it on a normal size screen.
It was beautiful. When you watched it on... When you watched it... Well, I mean, I watched it on like a 65, 70-inch. But I'm just saying, when you watch it on a good size TV, it is beautiful. And honestly, even with Dany going full psycho, that was a beautiful episode.
Listen, when she... She's walking and all you see are the wings flapping. I need that in a poster. Poster God, can you just let me know when that comes out?
There's already been people that are making posters like that.
Yeah, I mean, so gorgeous. So for the production value, you know, sans Starbucks cup, whatever, fuck that shit. But
water, you mean water bottle?
And water bottle, yeah. But for the general production value of the show in its entirety, but even this season, it's a lot of work and it's beautiful and it was great. But the problem for me always was the books are so dense and there's so much in them that you could never actually do it in 8 seasons and do it right. And that was with just the 5 books you had. Like, technically, the first book could have been season 1 and 2.
It should have been.
You know what I mean? And so it was one of those things where it was very ambitious to begin with and I loved it and I don't regret loving it. But I did leave last night feeling completely underwhelmed only because I felt like the execution of tying up these loose ends was just done so poorly. And you tried to treat me like I was a 5-year-old and say, hey, look at this pretty picture. Listen to this pretty music. And wasted 45 minutes of my life that I can't get back just watching motherfuckers stand around. Like, I was just, I was over it.
A lot of Lord of the Rings goodbyes.
I love Lord of the Rings.
Oh, no, listen, I do too.
I do too, but they were the first person to do it, the first people to do it. I didn't need to see it again.
Right.
Well, no.
In a lesser context.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that in and of itself is exactly why I'm like, you should have the entire story before you attempt to tell the story. Because I think that one of the strengths of what Peter Jackson did with the original Lord of the Rings trilogy is that he had all of it. And that meant that he was able to very creatively pick and choose.
Say, plus the Lord of the Rings books had been out for like 60 years before he started.
Well, yes. But I guess my point is that because all of the source material was there, he could very creatively and deliberately scour it so that when they did the screenwriting for it, they really were capturing the true essence of the story, even if it wasn't verbatim from the books. He had that because he knew how the fucking story ended. Like, you guys tried to do this with Game of Thrones and you could never actually accomplish the goal because you didn't have the source material.
When do you think they knew that this was going to be a train wreck?
I don't think till maybe season 3.
No, because I mean, even the last 2 seasons that aren't in the books, they got stuff right. You know, just from a storytelling perspective.
Yes, I love it.
Got a little tongue tied. Enjoy that. Yeah, they got things right narratively.
Right.
But I feel like they got in too far over their heads and they didn't know how to wrap it up.
Yeah. Or, back to the original point, you could have just taken them 10 episodes, dog.
You could have taken more than them. You could have taken 3 more seasons.
Yeah, HBO was not in any rush to cancel this show.
Right.
As I say, they're giving you, you know, almost $100 million an episode to make this show.
Right, and they had and it zero shows problem
it shows
it.
In the production value.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's the only reason I will actually tune in next weekend and watch the documentary about the last season of Game of Thrones, because I'm a big nerd on the behind the scenes stuff like that.
Did you watch the behind the scenes after the Battle of Winterfell? Like I legit like nerded out at all of the work that went in to just getting the fire. Oh my gosh.
Not
like,
to mention they shoot
amazing.
On location in like Ireland and shit. It's not in a back lot in Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what makes me sad with all of this. Wow, I just caught that shade you threw. Damn, E. That's how you feel today on this Monday?
I caught my breath.
You know.
Yikes.
It's no shade. Marvel films in a back lot in Atlanta.
You weren't throwing it at Marvel.
Who was I throwing it at?
The Walking Dead, were you not?
No. If anything,
maybe I was just being
I would have been throwing
it
at Tyler Perry because fuck Tyler
Perry. I very much thought that was at Marvel. And in either way, you are shady as fuck.
You are.
Anywho.
No shade was meant. I love Marvel. They make it work.
Sir, put your eyebrows down.
But, you know, I just.
Fuck Tyler Perry.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
He films in a back lot in Atlanta.
He just needs to not film
he
at all.
He films at a regular house that he paid for, and that is what he does.
With in the Snellville. Dum-dums. Yeah. Anyhow. So.
Can't wait for.
Wait a minute. Money of dum-dums. Sir, that's your money because you've seen every Tyler Perry movie.
I've seen two.
That's two too many.
That I paid
sir.
For.
Right. Yeah.
But you've seen them all.
Not all of them.
So that means that you've paid with your time and you can't get your time back.
You cannot.
Again, I don't think you can rip on something if you haven't watched it.
I can. Anyhow, I'm my only...
Shout out to Madea Goes to Space.
My God, I knew he was going to do that. My biggest concern with how this all wrapped up, quite honestly, it wasn't the end of the world that... some of these storylines for me weren't close. Now, in fairness, I wasn't as invested as some because I didn't read the books. I did watch every damn season and might have watched a couple of those seasons twice. So I feel like I was invested enough to make this statement.
Hang on a second. Let's give it a second. Right now, someone is screaming because you didn't read the books.
Oh.
Give them a minute to get their nerd rage out. They're like, fucking stupid woman. Bitch, you didn't read.
I was... kind of screaming internally.
Oh, I mean, well then let me backtrack. It wasn't because I didn't attempt to read the books.
They are a lofty read. Yes,
I made it. I made it halfway through the first one and literally wanted to stab my eyeballs out. It's just while I think that he has created overall a very compelling story, I don't enjoy sitting and reading an encyclopedia, and that's kind of what it felt like. So. Yeah, don't come for my reading skills, bitches. I read. I just don't read shit that ain't fun to read. Anywho, I am concerned that the backlash of this final season is going to create an atmosphere where HBO won't invest this type of money in a show again. And I hope that doesn't happen, because overall, I don't think that you can rate the show on just this last season. I think it's one of the best shows, hands down, that HBO has ever done. And I think we're going to be hard-pressed to see a show that truly is that much better than Game of Thrones done at this scale. So it's, you know, it's kind of the taking the good with the bad, because I think I could sit here and rip on this damn season for like another 2 hours straight. But the reality is, looking at the full body of work, thank you, HBO, and thank you to the showrunners for what they did, even though they screwed the pooch on season 8, and especially that fucking finale, because what else would we be talking about? Like, it was amazing. Like, I remember watching a lot of other big HBO shows, and it never left me feeling some way after I finished it. It was just like, oh, okay, well, guess that's done. You know, so I just think that the amount of effort that they put in, everything about it was great. And I just do want to be careful that that doesn't get lost in the mix.
They'll be fine. Prequels are coming.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's no exaggeration to say that it is a monument of television and filmmaking, but they didn't stick the landing. That
they
doesn't mean the previous seven seasons are not worth the watch.
They did not.
Just know that when you get to that eighth season, it's going to be some missteps. Some people are going to fall on their face.
So many questions.
Narratively.
Who the fuck is this new Prince of Dorne? Why did five people sit there and act like when Grey Worm was talking, they didn't know that Jon was a Targaryen?
You would
so
know
many
who the Prince of Dorne is if they...
If they ever went back to Dorne?
Right, yeah. That and if they ever followed up with what was in the book.
Talk about it. Right. Right, that's what I was kind of getting at. Because listen, I read the cliff notes of that bitch. I just didn't read the whole book. So, like, I know all of the characters that did not make it onto the show that should have been on the show.
Like a zombie dead Catelyn Stark. Yes. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, the fact that Lady Stoneheart was not on the show. Yeah, bitches, y'all thought
still
I didn't know
angers
her.
Me
yeah.
to this day.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
this day.
To this day.
So many. But listen.
Am I the only one who thought it was weird to see the weird kid from, the fuck is that kingdom with the moon door?
Yes.
Robin Aaron?
The Veil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize who that was until later. I was like, who's this little fucking
Yeah,
little
he was
Roy
all grown up, and now he almost seemed to have some goddamn sense, but we know he doesn't. Like, what was that about?
He had more sense than Edmure Tully.
Facts. Yikes. Well, I mean, like, here's another question, all right? All of these scenes that we've seen of the Wildlings over the last two seasons, and they've been everywhere, right? Because they're trying to help us also defeat the Night King. Where the fuck did all of those little kids come from?
The Wildlings got busy.
I mean, but busy enough that you were producing a bunch of seven-year-olds? Because there was a hell of a lot of kids marching back into the North. And I'm just like...
No, I mean, they were probably in the dungeons or whatever to stay away from...
Stop it. Even when we saw scenes of the Wildling community, not the fighters, moving south, you saw a couple of kids. Not like... One of these bitches procreates like a goddamn cat and has a litter of like 12 at a time. Like, that was ridiculous.
They were all brothers and sisters. Let's not be bad.
I mean, but you get what I'm saying. There was a lot more kids than I remember seeing.
Again, they're sitting out in the cold of the North. What else are they going to do?
Yeah. Also, did you guys find, like, maybe it's just me. I, unlike some people, do not struggle with time travel at all. Like, I'm very good with time. But did it feel to you like they didn't do a great job of showing the progression of time in this final episode?
You mean you didn't like Jon's bushy beard and
in 3 weeks
looking like a whole homeless man? You didn't like that?
Also, how was half of the Red Keep built back again after it was fucking destroyed?
How is Bronn the master of coin?
Wait a second, bitch. Don't you speak ill of... Bronn can be the master of everything.
I mean, he does know how to save a dollar. Outside of spending it on
the brothels?
Brothels,
yeah. Because that's real important.
I mean, listen, it is. It's satisfying.
Why are we still... Why? I'm not going to rage. I'm not. But why? Why is it still more of the same? Why? Why is it still more of the same? Why? Why did we do all of that just so that we could still have those houses? Why is it still, well, fuck the poor people? Why? Why is it still that? Why? Why is it that Sansa gets to abdicate and abdicate nicely to her brother when she apparently couldn't speak to Dany that way, but Yara can't? Why is it that no one's worried that the Unsully is leaving and probably when they get to... Why is no one upset about Slaver's Bay? What?
So y'all can't see my face, but I'm looking at this raging lunatic over here. Like, listen, we already had one mad queen this week. We don't need to. Pipe it down.
I'm just so, like, I love the show. I know that they could have done, there was so much that they could have done. Why would you say that you could do it in six episodes?
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, every question that we have has a follow-up question of why did you try to do it in six?
Yeah, they should have at least, at a minimum, made it eight episodes.
Right, right.
And then they completely blew their wad on the penultimate episode, and then by the time we got to the finale, it's like, okay, well, Danny's dead in the first 20 minutes. Now what? Let's wrap all this was up.
It,
as
was
fast
it 20?
As
I thought
can.
It was a total of 40 minutes before she died.
It was about 30.
Yeah. Because the problem was like 10 to 15 minutes of that was non-dialogue wasted time. But
yeah,
whatever.
And a weird Hitler-esque speech. And
yeah. That
lots
was
of,
super
lots of,
Hitler-y.
Oh, you guys didn't get. You guys didn't get riled up?
You got riled up, didn't
listen,
you?
Maybe not
Danny
Hitler-y,
is my
a little
queen.
Little Stalinish.
It was very Stalinish. Danny is my queen. I love her until she dies.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's dead, but well, I still love her.
If it makes you feel better.
Also, Bran, why are you going to warg into Drogon now? What are we, like, why couldn't you warg into Viserion when he died and he was blowing all that blue smoke at
Okay, so... Remember what I just said a couple minutes ago.
No, it's fine. It's done. It's fine. No worries.
We need,
it's fine. Let's move on.
We have the main question of why the fuck did you guys try to do this in 6 episodes?
Plot holes aplenty.
Yeah, so many plot holes. All right.
Somebody
listen.
Call Shia LaBeouf for these plot holes.
This is where I'm at with this. Like, Eric, I feel we can go on and on about
Shout
the issues we have.
It's just a good movie.
Will you stop? You know, I really do feel like we could go on and on about the issues we have with the finale and the season in general. But I think that we can all pretty much agree that we were left a bit underwhelmed. And with that, you know, before the summer series kick into full gear, because we know those are coming up, what shows should we be watching now that this Game of Thrones fuckery is done?
Well, I mean, before we move on from that, I'm still pretty mad about what happened to Brienne. You didn't have to do her like that.
Nah.
Like she kind of, I felt like she got the consolation prize of being, you know, the leader of the armies of King's Landing, but at the same time, like,
it's ridiculous.
You didn't have to put her through the drama.
No, there was no need for her to go through any of that.
I almost felt like I would have preferred that she died at Winterfell and like a heroic death.
Yeah.
Yep.
And not, you know, writing a good word in Jamie's yearbook at the end of the fucking show.
Okay, but the burn book memes are everything.
Yeah.
Because that's what she should be writing.
Right.
Basically.
Right, right.
Fuck Jamie Lannister. He fucked his sister.
Had a bunch of weird incest babies.
And I hate him.
His but, dick was like that hand. Gone.
But Podrick at least, you know.
Yeah, shout out to Podrick.
I just hope he doesn't end up being fucking Bran's chair guy, just pushing him around. That's my biggest gripe because I'm a fan of Brienne. So
yeah, that's fair.
She was a very good character.
Yep.
She was. Well, there were a lot of very good characters that in the end just got the short end of the stick, and it was fucking ridiculous.
Pretty much because we had to spend so much time on the Stark kids.
But again. 10 episodes could have solved some of this. Or oh shit, what about 10 seasons? Okay, I'm
Make
done.
Make it an even 10?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Anyway.
Anyway, so again, are you good now?
I'm decent.
Okay.
I'm good.
What should we be watching? Because fuck that shit.
Well, if you stuck around after the credits for Game of Thrones, you would have rolled into the show Barry on HBO, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic show starring Bill Hader. Famously of Saturday Night Live and just basically anything funny because Bill mm-hmm. Hader is amazing. I would recommend Barry because it is.
What is Barry about?
Barry is about a former military special forces sniper who, after he gets out of the military, becomes a hitman for hire.
Oh.
And on one of his jobs, he has to go to L.A. and while tailing one of his suspects or one of his marks, he wanders into an acting class and kind of catches the acting bug and decides he wants to be an actor.
Okay, that sounds hilarious already.
Yeah, and in the middle of it, he hangs out with Henry Winkler. He meets the Chechen Mafia, who are amazing. NoHo Hank is probably my favorite character on television right now because he's a Chechen Mafia guy who is the nicest person on the planet.
Huh.
And he's just hilarious.
Okay,
so
right.
Barry, I would highly recommend. They literally just finished their second season as well. The same night as Game of Thrones. So season one and season two, if you still got your HBO Go or HBO Now, if you haven't canceled it yet, check out
Oops.
Barry while you still got it.
I guess I'll have to wait till Insecure rolls back. I'll catch it then.
Did you rage quit?
Oh, no. That was always the plan. I don't keep HBO unless the show that I'm watching is in season. So with Issa fucking around and not coming now, yeah, it just got canceled a little early. But like every year, literally as soon as Insecure is done, yeah, we just... cut it off and we don't bring it back until the next Game of Thrones season.
Yeah, say Insecure is usually like a late summer.
Yep, yep. So we would keep it, like we would watch John Oliver in between until, you know, until Issa Rae, but now it's like I can see John Oliver on YouTube, so we're good.
Yeah, they do post the
all the, damn near the whole episode. Yeah. We're good.
I'm an old lady. I could never. What if something else comes out?
Girl, then I cut it back on.
That's the beauty of on demand.
Yes.
And, you know, you pay your $15, you got HBO for the month. You can watch all of their back catalog.
And then you cut that shit off when you're done. You need to be smart with your money.
It's pretty much.
It's my mother's money.
Oh, well, in that case, she's paying for it then.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But like I said, give Barry a shot. It's really funny. It's kind of dark humor because it goes from being absolutely hilarious to being kind of dark and at some points a little gory, but it's definitely worth it.
I like gore and humor together.
Yeah. That works and Bill Hader, you know, he said it before that he doesn't think he plays the part of a soldier very well, but he kind of pulls it off.
Huh. I mean, I can see it though, because he kind of has that like deadpan quality to just his appearance and how he is, which is part of what makes him so funny. So I could see it working. Huh.
Yeah. Plus there's a lot of really good supporting cast. Like most of the cast from The Good Place are on the show. Like the young lady who plays, not Darcy, was the
I don't watch The Good Place.
Are you talking about Chidi's girlfriend?
No. Yes, the Australian woman. She's on there. Also, what's her name? The AI.
Janet.
Janet. Yes. Janet is on there as well. So yeah, there's a lot of the cast of The Good Place on there.
You know where else you could have found Chidi's girlfriend? Killing Eve. She was on season one.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so do you both watch Killing Eve? Because I have not seen it. I've heard it's
yet.
Good. Manera is it something we should be watching?
Manera has only mentioned it 8,000 times today after rewatching Killing Eve.
Oh, see, I just kind of tune her out when her voice hits that octave that I know she's about to be ridiculous. So if she said it to me, I've missed it.
It's so good.
See, that octave. That's the one right there that I normally tune her out.
Eric tagged me in. We watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which also, if you're not watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is hilarious.
He tagged me in. In a gif of Jake basically telling Rosa, like, oh, she's like Villanelle. Oh, which you would know if you watch Killing Eve. Are you watching Killing Eve? Come on, Rosa, watch Killing Eve. I've literally said that to Eric.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Multiple times.
Yeah. Killing Eve
she's
is amazing.
Such a fucking dork. It's okay. Amazing. All right. I'm going to bite. What the fuck is it even about?
It is about a assassin named Villanelle. And a...
Wait. Her name is Villanelle?
Well...
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with it.
Once again,
I'm not going to be judgy.
An assassin named Villanelle and a security operative named Eve.
Okay.
Eve gets a little too close in trying to get into the brain of Villanelle.
So like bong chica wow wow close or just like
I mean, yeah, they have really good chemistry.
Oh, okay.
Eve is played by Sandra Oh. Mm-hmm. If you do not know, she played Dr. Christina Yang on mm-hmm. Grey's Anatomy, one part of Mare and Christina.
Right.
And Villanelle is played by Jodie Comer, who you may know from a BBC show called Dr. Forrester. It's real messy and real good. That's another, it's on Netflix. It's really good. It's spy crafty, real good chemistry, cat and mousey. It's good. Eve is a little sociopathic.
About to say, it sounds like there is a lot going on, which okay with.
It's a lot. It's on BBC America. It's really good.
I didn't know it was written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge,
yes.
who
yes.
famously from Crashing, and mm-hmm. she played
Broadchurch,
yeah, yep. And she played L337 in Solo as well. Well, the voice and the motion capture. I didn't know she was also a writer.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't steer you wrong, baby.
I might have to check it out.
It's so good. Please do.
See, exactly.
I get really excited when I know you'll like something. And more people need to watch it. It's so, like, the leads are females, and they're good, and their chemistry, whew, it's good. It's so good. Watch it.
You're not the fucking boss of me, all right? Maybe I'll watch it.
So I would assume that's Manera's pick of what you should be watching when Game of Thrones is over.
I mean, I have others, but yeah.
I mean, I would also highly, highly recommend the new version of The Twilight Zone.
Yes!
Jordan Peele and crew have been killing it. And
I have an addendum to the Twilight Zone, though. I really need to put this out there. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to maneer this. It is amazing, but y'all better get it while you still can. Because I know that CVS has already ordered a second season, mm-hmm. but eventually somebody's going to watch and somebody is going to realize, oh, wait a second. Every episode, he is coming for our lives. How do we not see this?
They already know. I literally fell down this rabbit hole the other day going through IMDb, looking at the reviews for each episode. And it is basically just white guys screaming about how, you know, it's too politically correct. It's too, you know, the white guy is always the bad guy.
Well, yeah.
Like, you know.
I love basking in not knowing that because I didn't know. I thought everybody loved it.
I was looking for details on one of the episodes that I watched.
Which one?
What was it? The one with the spaceship.
Oh, yeah. That was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and just
that was good.
Going, I scrolled down, like right past the trivia is the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that guy's angry. This has got to be. Maybe he just didn't like, it wasn't very, you know, if you're going for sci-fi, it's not very technical and a lot of the science is bad.
Yeah.
But then you start going through the other reviews and you're like, oh, well, this is about immigration. Well, they're too heavy-handed with their stories.
That one wasn't even about incrimination. The point of origin was.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah, so
listen,
as I've said as a barometer, if you're pissing off white people, you're probably doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. It's so good. And the fact, like, I was watching, what did I watch? I think I watched the second one, Rewind.
Yeah.
The one with Sanaa Lathan.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one that got me like, mm-hmm. these white people renewing this? Did they watch this episode?
That's when I
Because it was like literally right after I watched it that they were like
racist Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the thing was, like, my understanding was, like, literally right after that second episode mm-hmm. aired was when they
renewed
ordered
it.
The second season. And
yeah.
I was
well,
like...
Well, the first two is The Comedian and then The Nightmare at 30,000 Feet with Adam Scott. Which
yeah.
Really good interpretation of that story.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that all the way across the board, he's doing a fantastic job. Is it a little heavy? It can be, but I haven't felt yet that it's been heavy in a way that is like not palpable. You know
but
what
I mean?
I mean?
It's not like this is a new thing. The Twilight Zone has always been kind of steeped in social commentary.
And I think that's what millennials are going to struggle with this show, because like, unless you sat and watched the old ones with your grandmother, like last week and had
They're
an adult mind, right. But,
yeah.
but you know, like unless you had an adult mind to understand what you were watching. And if you watched it as a kid, it really did come across more as like pseudo horror sci-fi.
That's
and you
more
didn't
like the,
know what you were looking at.
The reboot that came out in the early 2000s with Forest Whitaker as the host was very much like that, where it was more sci-fi horror. It mm-hmm. wasn't as you know, it didn't really lay it on thick with the social commentary.
Right, but the thing is that the original ones did, though.
Exactly.
And we wouldn't know it when we watched it as like 10-year-olds because, well, we didn't know shit. But now, like, if you go back today, go on Netflix, mm-hmm. start watching the original episodes, so many of them are just completely
yeah.
laced with social mm-hmm. commentary, and you would have missed that.
Even for the 50s and 60s, like, there were issues mm-hmm. of race. It was about the nuclear proliferation. It was about World War II, you know. Yeah, it you know, they went for it.
I love that not all men is the lowest.
Of course.
One.
Oh yeah.
Of course it
oh,
was.
Oh yeah, that one. Oh, the trolls love that.
Listen,
episode.
And it was one of the best ones.
Yeah.
That's the funny part.
Yeah.
That not all men, that episode was fantastic.
Listen, they are all good.
Yeah, and the good thing about it too, I think, and I know this was Eric's recommendation, but like I highly agree with it because I've actually watched it so I can speak to it. Like
yeah.
you can pick up at any episode. Like you don't necessarily need to watch them in order.
Yeah, that's always like, the beauty of anthology
yeah,
series.
Yeah, any
this.
Anthology series like that is great. But I think like especially with this one, like, you know, read the summary for the show. Mm-hmm. And if that's just not your flavor for that day, then don't watch that episode and watch another one. But any of them on any given day are going to get you what you need as far as, you know, watching something really entertaining.
Yeah.
Or don't be a dick and just watch them all. They're all
pretty much.
Really good.
Yeah, they're all really
there
good.
There is also that. So I feel like...
Yeah, look at these reviews. Unwatchable, smug, and insulting.
Oh.
Here we go again with toxic masculinity fail. Skip this one. Nothing Twilight Zone about this. More of a poorly written social commentary. Toxic masculinity making all the men go crazy. The ending was especially pathetic.
I wonder if, let's see, was that Umar Salman? Hey, Umar, do you even understand what toxic masculinity is? Because then you would understand why that episode, never mind. Not even going to bother.
Umar, you should smile more. It'd make you look pretty.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that for me, one of the things that I've really, really been into lately is trying to get into some of the superhero shows. But I have decided not to go the route of like doing the whole Arrowverse on CW because,
boo.
Well, there's Manera's best friend. He's like male Manera, and he also does the squeaky voice thing about what he likes. Not going to say any names.
Hi, best friend.
But he knows who he is. And he talks about the Flash and Arrow the same way that Manera just lost her shit about Killing Eve, which completely just turned it off for me.
I've kind of been disconnected from this season of all of those.
Yeah. So I've kind of gone the other route, and I've been watching Doom Patrol from the DC app. And listen, if... It's not expensive. It's worth the money because I think you get all of the DC cartoons
too,
right?
You get all the DC cartoons. You get all of the DC movies, yeah. And you get all of the exclusive, like when Doom Patrol ends at the end of this month, Swamp Thing starts the weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited. So anywho, if you guys are not familiar with Doom Patrol, it is basically a group of superheroes that aren't superheroes, that all, you know, like anyone else, has a tragic backstory to get them their fucked up powers because none of the powers are actually great.
Yeah, they're kind of a dysfunctional family of misfits.
Yeah, and it is so entertaining and I love every bit of it. And it's a little different than what you expect with a superhero show. So you should check that out. Also, if you're going to go ahead and spend that little bit of change on the DC app, you can also get caught up on season one of Titans, which was fucking amazing.
Surprisingly good. I thought it was going to be dumb and I watched the first episode and I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, really, really good. So I would say check those out. And, you know, while we're on streaming services, you can be like me and take advantage of your kid taking advantage of somebody else's Hulu and not paying for it yourself. Shout out to my girlfriend on the West Coast that is letting me use her Hulu and that doesn't know it. But that said, I've also started watching Marvel's Runaways. On Hulu, which is a Hulu original, I believe.
Yeah, it's a Hulu exclusive.
Yeah, so I literally just finished season one last night. It's not long. It's not campy, but it's also not too, like, kiddie either.
Yeah, for the changes that they had to make the show work, it's not bad. Because in the comic, like, these are the children of famous supervillains.
Right.
But because of the MCU and the villains that they don't have the rights to, they kind of became not supervillains, but still evil people.
Yeah, there's people. These parents will never win Parent of the Year, even though they're all rich. And I like the fact that while the show is definitely about the kids, like they do go into some character development on the parents and why the parents have done some of the things that they've done.
Yeah.
And so it's just a nice way to sit back, not have to think too hard, and enjoy some shit. That would be what I would recommend because that's something that'll definitely tie you over until like 2-3 weeks from now when all the summer shows start.
Yeah, and the second season is on Hulu as well.
Mm-hmm.
They did it differently with the second season where they dropped all the episodes at once. The first season you had to wait each week.
Oh, see, I just literally started it like 2 weeks ago and already got through season one. So I'm gonna
apparently they decided to just follow Netflix's model,
which is
smart. I don't know. I kind of enjoy the waiting. Like if I binge watch a show like that, I feel like I'm not getting a chance to absorb everything properly.
Boo.
Well,
pardon
damn.
Me for enjoying a little suspense.
Nope.
No, you know what? I kind of agree. I think it depends. For me, it depends on the type of show. Unlike you two, I don't binge like that. So, like, you know, there have been times...
Yeah, it's also hard for me to sit down and watch more than, like, 3 episodes in a row.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, for me, I don't ever watch more than, like, 3 is the max of anything I will watch in one sitting.
Especially if it's an hour-long show.
Exactly. Because I just don't have that type of time almost ever. Again, I wish y'all could see Manera's face right now. It is. She doesn't even look cute.
I do laundry, so I fold my clothes, and I need something to watch.
She is making the Russian gymnast face, the judging face.
Well, wait. I mean, are you washing clothes for a small tribe? Because
yes.
Oh, okay.
But before we move away from HBO completely, before you cut that thread, I would like to give a shout out to Veep. Who since they ended their season last week. And if you would like to see a conclusion well-earned that brings everything full circle, check out Veep.
So wait, so is the series, it was a series, the series finale? Is,
okay. Yeah.
The multi-Emmy award-winning Veep.
Yeah.
I saw one episode and was like, this is fucking hilarious, and like meant to get back to it, and then, you know, adulting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm like, well, shit,
it's,
now I need to go
It's very
back.
Much like the English show, The Thick of It, which had Peter Capaldi, mm-hmm. and it is basically just about politics, but, you know.
Done well.
Yeah, done well. It's hilarious and makes you realize how stupid everyone in Washington is.
Yeah.
Speaking of Peter Capaldi,
he's amazing.
Are we not gonna also suggest that if you got some time, go ahead and get to know the good doctor?
I will always recommend Doctor Who. So
okay.
And you pick a doctor, they're all good. Some better than others.
Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My David. Doctor wears a bow tie and has a family. Come on.
Listen. My doctor has terrible taste in clothes, but you know what? She's a bad bitch. So
that is true.
What pick, I love her outfit.
She looks.
She oof. Looks like a demented 12-year-old, and that's yes. basically what the doctor is.
I mean, yes. So that doesn't work for me.
She looks like a child that you let pick their clothes.
She literally looks like every little white girl on a Saturday mm-hmm. in Whole Foods with her mom, mm-hmm. wearing rain galoshes when it's like
yeah. so happy about 90
she, she's degrees happy and sunny she picked outside. That clothes. That's her outfit. They always do. Every doctor picks their outfit.
All right. Well,
my doctor had a bow tie.
Listen, I'm not digging her outfit, but I dig her. So there's that.
Yeah. Watch Doctor Who.
Definitely
yes,
watch Doctor
do
Who.
It. Pick a doctor.
And guess what? You've got like 26 seasons. Plenty of time to catch
you
up.
You will never run out. But I think it's important to note, though, you do not need to watch all 26 seasons.
You God, don't. No. It's good to go back and get a little refresher. Like, you know,
not for Rose.
Go through 9 and 10. Don't listen to Manera.
She's not good. She's not. Mediocre.
But she's necessary to the story.
Is she?
There she goes with that squeaky shit. Look, mm-hmm. we're going to cut your mic off if you can't control your squeak.
Will you?
Sorry. Watch Doctor Who.
Oh, they're squeakity squeaking it up. Jeez. Yeah, no, I definitely, I think that there's a little bit of flavor for everybody there. Yeah, so I feel like we've given you some shows that can, you know, tide you over till the summer shows come out, because there are some really good summer shows coming out, but we ain't talking about them bitches today.
Nope.
So with that, I feel like we've covered that shit show for now. We've given you some actual good shows to watch to lick your wounds. So I guess it's time for Manera's grab bag.
Okay, so our grab bag comes from our listener, Corey. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Corey asked for the sexy voice.
What up, dog?
So what up, monk?
He gets the sexy voice. Corey would like to know what we think about X-Men's The Phoenix, a.k.a.
I don't approve of this voice.
You don't like it?
You don't want to talk to Corey in a sexy voice?
You don't
want
to talk to Corey like this?
Also, for those who don't know, Corey also hosts a great podcast called From the Canopy.
It's yes. my favorite.
I would highly suggest giving it a listen. They cover a lot of topics. So yes. shout out to Corey and From the Canopy podcast.
Yeah, for real. And Corey, we gave you sexy voice. You got to return the favor, dog.
I don't require that, Corey. You do whatever you do.
I mean, if I'm giving it,
right,
you're gonna give it back.
That's it. That's how we roll.
So Corey would like to know how bad we think X-Men Dark Phoenix is
going
to be.
Ooh, who's going first?
Me. I will. I hate Jean Grey with passion. So I think it's going to be horrible. I mean, Sophie Turner doesn't really know how to turn off her British. So. Yeah, I mean, it needs to come out, do horribly, and then go away, and then we can start anew.
Yeah. She also doesn't know how to turn off that big ass forehead.
Yikes!
She has British face.
Is that?
You could display the movie on that fucking forehead.
We are not coming for the newest Mrs. Jonas like that, all right?
I will like to say that Jessica Chastain is in it, and I love her.
Yeah. I am curious to see who Jessica Chastain is playing. The rumor on the street is she's playing Lalandra from the Shi'ar, mm-hmm. which would make sense because the Phoenix Force is an alien force. But to piggyback on Munir's comments, yeah, just get it done. Get it over with. You guys had me at First Class. I was even on board for Days of Future Past. You completely shit all over the bed and didn't change the sheets after Apocalypse. Mm-mm. So now that the rights are back with Marvel, I'm ready for this to be done. I want my X-Men back with my Avengers. I want my peanut butter and my chocolate. I want my snacks.
I
want
to be able to say mutants.
Yeah.
Ooh. Freely.
I want to hear somebody say muty and have it sound super racist like it's supposed to sound.
Yes.
Listen, I'm just going to answer the question. So since our boy Corey wants to know how bad it's going to suck, it is going to suck about as much as stubbing your toe on the corner of a desk and realizing how bad it hurts only to then get run over by a car.
Do you have flip-flops on?
Of course. And you just stepped on a Lego.
Oh my God.
But then out of nowhere, in your house, you get hit by a fucking car. That's how bad this shit is gonna suck. All right. Nothing about this preview.
Nope.
Nothing about any of the previews that they have shown for this movie makes me want to waste an A-list reservation on it. I mean, I'm gonna so that I can boo it in the fucking theater, because I will. I will boo that shit. I will be the one. You know how everybody at the end of the movie is like, yay! I'm going to be like, fucking boo. This some bullshit. Sony needs to be burned the fuck down. Let it go. It's going to be fucking terrible.
At the beginning, in the first trailer or teaser trailer that they teased, she killed Mystique.
Yep.
No, she didn't. We don't know that.
No.
We know it.
We don't know who was being buried at that fucking funeral.
Ma'am, we know it.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence has famously wanted to get out of the X-Men movies for a while.
Okay, well, listen.
She collected her check.
Listen, hot take.
All y'all are out.
Hot take.
I'm down for fucking Mystique dying off the break, because Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique after the first one, no.
I'm down for Mystique dying because she never should have had this big of a role in the film.
Ever.
I'm down for everyone dying. No, everyone can go and start anew.
I don't know.
Yeah, the last good X-Men movie was Logan. Though.
Yeah.
And Deadpool, if you want to be technical.
Logan. Oof.
But we will never speak of this abomination in the same sentence where we speak of those two movies. Because this, it was the movie we never fucking needed. It is the story arc that we never fucking needed.
This is basically the Venom storyline again. Like, Marvel has been smart enough to say, let's not do Venom yet. We fucked it up real bad the last time. Apparently, Marvel Fox didn't get that memo. They were like, oh, well, we didn't do great. Let's try it again. We can make it this time. You know, to quote Tina Belcher, don't count us out. Our family's motto is we might get lucky this time.
Listen, I'm going to just go back. Eric, you're fucked up for it, but you're not wrong about that forehead, dog.
Yeah.
What, did you? She's British.
She got an eight head, yo. Oh, my God.
That's her. That's why she has such good psychic powers, because she got such a big ass head.
Are you saying that she's just the female Megamind? That's fucked up.
Look at that forehead.
She's got a large noggin to begin with. And then they always want to pull her hair back.
Yeah, don't pull her hair back.
She's proud of that head.
Why pull her hair back? Because she actually has really pretty
strong
eyes.
Features, yeah.
And she's got nice eyebrows. So they pull it back, but...
Maybe get her some bangs.
That forehead.
She doesn't look good in bangs. I've seen her in bangs.
I'm just saying.
I don't... listen. I'm just saying this is going to be some shit. Corey, I think that you've got what we think about this, but in case you're not clear, let me say it again. This movie's going to fucking suck.
Let me sum it up in a single word. That's a fart noise.
Wait, but is it going to suck like a fart, or is it going to suck like baby poop? poo after they ate something they
what
shouldn't.
What are we doing
eat?
Now?
This is like accidental shart while wearing white pants.
Oh, worse. Accidental shart. Accidental shart in public
on a
on
first
a
date.
Hot day.
God.
Yeah.
First date.
On a first date.
And what? It's like 90 degrees and humid. Mm-hmm. It's that DC weather, y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy, Corey? No, I'm Corey sorry. I'm sorry. Are you happy, Corey?
Enjoy that shart, Corey.
With the flies dying next
you
to you.
You did this.
As you walk, just flies falling out the sky.
You did this. Be proud of yourself, sir. Thank you for your comment and your question.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. All the comments, all the questions, we will tell you what we think about everything. Won't think about it twice.
Nope.
And it helps us because now we don't actually have to pretend we want to give a preview of this shit show of a movie. So
we weren't gonna.
Nope. But we'll review it afterwards because we're going to come back and let y'all know exactly how right we were about how much it fucking sucks.
It was bad.
All right, guys. We got to let that go. Mm-hmm. All right. So before we wrap up today, any final thoughts about anything that we've talked about today?
Prequels cometh.
Yeah. You got a Game of Thrones prequel coming. That's about all we got on the books for that, which I couldn't really care about, honestly.
No.
I do. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
But you read the books.
I read the books. I'm invested.
It's going to take a lot to bring it back. Like, maybe a really good preview. Like, I wasn't excited about this new Watchmen, and then I saw the new trailer, and I was like, all right, I'm in for it. We'll talk about that on a future episode, though.
Yeah, for sure, because that conversation needs adequate time, because that's not going to be a smelly Indian food baby diaper. That's not what's going to be.
Well, we don't know that yet.
We're going to hope.
I hope for the best.
I'm in the bag for it.
I think I am too. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, as always, we want to thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please rate us and write a review. Like, for real, don't do one without the other. It's not that hard. You're already there.
And subscribe at the same time.
Yeah.
All three. Boom,
all
boom,
three.
Boom.
You can do them on the same damn screen. See how technology works? But yeah, you know, tell your friends, all that good stuff. Just do it. If you want to keep track of our episode schedule, what's going on with us, follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Our handle on both is just Concentrated Pod. And if you want to send us some feedback like Corey did, because Corey just sent us an email. He went old school with it.
Thanks, Corey.
There's something intimate about an email.
It was very intimate.
But
no,
you
it
can.
Was all right, dog.
But you can also send us an email at concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. Not Concentrated Codcast.
I loved it.
We don't.
That's a completely different show.
We don't own
it. We're not talking about fish. But yeah, concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you're not quite sure where you want to listen to us because you're on another device or you're just switching shit up, you can always go to our website, which is www.concentratedpodcast.com, where we have links to all of the different avenues by which you can listen to us.
Yep.
So that's it for this week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a good week.